Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, this is Canto 7, Chapter 13, and today's verse is text number 26. Tatrapi dam patina cha sukayanya panutaye karmani kurvatam dristva nivritto Asmi viparayam tatra pidam patinam cha sukayanya panutaye karmani kur Vatam Dristva Nivritosmi Viparyayam
Tatra Pidam Patinam Cha
Tatra Pidam Patinam
Cha Sukayanya Panutaye
word for word, tatra, there, api, also, dampatinam, of men and women, united by marriage, cha, and, sukaya, for the sake of pleasure, specifically the pleasure of sex life. Anya apanutaye, for avoiding misery. Karmani, fruit of activities. kurvatam, always engaged in, drishtva, by observing, nivritta asmi, I have now ceased from such activities. Viparyayam, the opposite. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. In this human form of life, a man and woman unite for the sensual pleasure of sex. But by actual experience, we have observed that none of them are happy. Therefore, seeing the contrary results, I have stopped taking part in materialistic activities. Purport. As stated by Prahlad Maharaj, Yanme tunadi griyamedi sukham hi tucham. Man and woman both seek sexual enjoyment, and when they are united by the ritualistic ceremony of marriage, they are happy for some time, but finally there is dissension, and thus there are so many cases of separation and divorce. Although every man and woman is actually eager to enjoy life through sexual unity, the result is disunity and distress. Marriage is recommended to give men and women a concession for restricted sex life, which is also recommended in Bhagavad Gita by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dharma virudo bhuteshu kamosmi. Sex life not against the principles of religion is Krishna. Every living entity is always eager to enjoy sex life because materialistic life consists of eating, sleeping, sex and fear. In animal life, eating, sleeping, sexual enjoyment and fear cannot be regulated. But for human society, the plan is that although men, like animals, must be allowed to eat, sleep, enjoy sex and take protection from fear, they must be regulated. The Vedic plan for eating recommends that one take yajna-sistha or prasad, food offered to Krishna. Yajna-sistha sina shanto mucyante sarvakil visai. The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food that is offered first for sacrifice. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text 13. In material life, one commits sinful activities, especially in eating. And because of sinful activities, one is condemned by nature's laws to accept another body, which is imposed as punishment. Sex and eating are essential, and therefore they are offered to human society under Vedic restrictions, so that according to the Vedic injunctions, people may eat, sleep, enjoy sex, be protected from fearful life, and gradually be elevated and liberated from the punishment of material existence. Thus, the Vedic injunctions for marriage offer a concession to human society, the idea being that a man and woman united in a ritualistic marriage ceremony should help one another advance in spiritual life. Unfortunately, especially in this age, men and women unite for unrestricted sexual enjoyment. Thus, they are victimized, being obliged to take rebirth in the forms of animals to fulfill their animal propensities. The Vedic injunctions therefore warn, Nayam deho deha bhajan nirloke kastan kamam arhata vidbujamye. One should not enjoy sex life like hogs and eat everything, even to the limit of stool. A human being should eat prasad offered to the deity and should enjoy sex life according to the Vedic injunctions. He should engage himself in the business of Krishna consciousness. He should save himself from the fearful condition of material existence, and he should sleep only to recover from fatigue due to working hard. The learned Brahmana said that everything is misused by the fruitive workers. He had retired from all fruitive activities. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jana Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Apatitanam Pavanabhyo Vaishnavabhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Tatra pidam patinam cha sukayanya panutaye karmani kurvatam dristva nivritosmi viparyayam. In this human form of life, a man and woman unite for the sensual pleasure of sex. But by actual experience, we have observed that none of them are happy. Therefore, seeing the contrary results, I have stopped taking part in materialistic activities. One of Srila Prabhupada's early disciples named Mother Jadurani. It was in the summer in New York in 1967. And if you've been to New York, you'll be aware that the summers are quite hot. So Mother Jadurani was painting for the temple and for the BTG in New York. So at that time, you know, the movement was barely 1 year young, from 1966 to 1967. So Srila Prabhupada, he didn't really give strict rules and regulations or Krishna conscious standards regarding how devotees should dress. So Jadurani didn't know better in the innocence of her ignorance. So she normally wore clothes that people wear in summer. That means they hardly wear any clothes. You know, like the girls, they wear the shorts. And it's really a short shorts. You know? And they wear a t-shirt, you know, where the navel area, you know, yeah, is exposed. Okay. So she wore that type of clothes and, you know, painting on the canvas and bending over. You know what that means. Yes. You can't close your eyes. You see it in the West all the time. Probably in Delhi and Bombay now. Maybe even worse than New York City. So one of godbrothers, another Srila Prabhupada disciple, when he saw that, he became disgusted and he severely criticized Mother Jadurani. And she felt hurt. So on Srila Prabhupada's next visit in 1967 to New York City, you know, Srila Prabhupada really wanted to you know, help the devotees, and Jadurani really wanted to speak to Srila Prabhupada about this criticism of this godbrother about her dress. So obviously when she went in to see Srila Prabhupada, she was not dressed up like that. You know, she was dressed up appropriately as a devotee with tilak and so forth, and buying some very cheap, you could say, not even cotton, some polyester type, you know, mixed with cotton, some long bed sheet, and, you know, tying it around her as a sari. And she went in to see Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada said yes. She had direct access because she's one of the early devotees. She explained to Srila Prabhupada about the criticism of the godbrother. And then Prabhupada was very quiet and silent and didn't respond in any way. Okay. So eventually she asked him the question that she actually wanted to ask. And she said that, Srila Prabhupada, you know, in New York it's very, very hot. You know? Is it okay for us girls to wear shorts? Then Srila Prabhupada looked at her right through and very gravely said, "The attraction is already there.
don't aggravate it.
So in other words, you're not just how you eat, you are also how you dress. That's a fact. Because the way you dress can bring out the bodily conception of life more. Or it can bring out the devotional sentiments and remind others of Krishna. So Prabhupada was very grave and firm. This is way back, before he could even institute regular devotional dress standards. The attraction is already there.
Don't aggravate it.
So then Srila Prabhupada was sitting on his bed in 22nd Avenue. You go down in the inner courtyard and you go up the stairs. They call it second floor, but we call it first floor, ground and first floor, second floor they call it, yeah. Because they call the ground floor first floor, yeah. Right? Something like so Srila Prabhupada was sitting on his bed and she was visibly moved. Because Prabhupada can do an open heart surgery without anesthesia. We should know this. But he knows how to give the dosage at the right time so they can handle the dosage also. Yeah. So on the wall from Prabhupada's bed, behind, over the bed, so Prabhupada turned a little bit and there was an Indian Brijbasi print of a Mother Draupadi, praying with folded hands for Krishna to protect her from this vicious assembly of Dushasana and Duryodhana. From the Mahabharata. So Srila Prabhupada looked at Jadurani, and then he looked at that Brijbasi print like that. And he said, you see, by nature, by its own nature, a woman is ashamed to be seen undressed. Just see Draupadi. By its own nature, by their own nature, a woman becomes ashamed to be seen undressed. And then Srila Prabhupada told Mother Jadurani that a woman should be so covered that even the sun cannot see her. That is extreme, right? Even the sun cannot see her. But then Srila Prabhupada said, but who can hide themselves from the sun? And then Srila Prabhupada, he praised the woman from the Parsi community. Parsi? He praised the woman from the Parsi community. That they were so covered that only their eyes could be seen. From their side they can see you, you cannot see them. Of course, these are kind of like extreme situations, Prabhupada. But still, Prabhupada is making a point. Two points. Attraction is already there. Do not aggravate it. And by nature, a woman of culture is ashamed, like Draupadi, to be seen undressed. Two principles are there. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about basically two things. He talks about eating and sex life. Eating and, he says eating, sleeping, mating and defending. But he speaks more about eating and mating. Yeah. And we are aware in the first verse in the Nectar of Instruction, Upadeshamrita, everyone. Vacho vegam manasa krodha vegam jiva vegam udara upasta vegam etan vegam yo vishaheta dira sarvam apimam prithivim sasisyat. So from that particular verse and into the purport, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes jiva vegam udara upasta vegam. He emphasizes on the honoring of prasad, nothing that's outside of that. See? And Srila Prabhupada used to say, and as well as on the purport, that as for the vega of the tongue, jiva vegam, we all experience that the tongue wants to eat palatable food. We all experience that. So generally, Prabhupada said that we should not allow the tongue to eat according to its choice, but should control the tongue by only honoring Krishna, a prasadam. Very simple. Very simple. So the devotee's internal attitude, which is from inside out, not from outside in, the devotee's internal attitude is that the devotee will only honor Krishna prasadam, food that is cooked by devotees who chant minimum 16 rounds daily, and food that is offered by devotees. Cooked by devotees and offered by devotees become prasad. It's a very simple formula. Jiva vegam udara upasta vegam. So Prabhupada said, and that is the simple way to control the urges of the tongue. And because the tongue and the belly and the genitals are situated in a straight line, if you control the tongue, then automatically the belly and the reproductive organs are automatically controlled. Prabhupada says it's that simple. It's that simple. So if we stick to the principle of only honoring Krishna prasad, then one can beget Krishna conscious children. Then one can beget Krishna conscious children. Yes. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, the Krishna consciousness movement, it does encourage marriage, but not for the satisfaction of the genitals, and not for begetting children that you could say grow up like hogs, dogs, camels and asses. So therefore it is very important that there's nothing wrong with marriage, but there's everything wrong with the consciousness of how you beget children, and that starts with only honoring Krishna prasadam. I mean, you can buy things from Haldirams or Brijbasi sweets and you know, Jain food on the airplane, you know this stuff, right? And that Cadbury's chocolate. You understand? But this is not prasad. This is not prasad. It must be cooked by devotees and offered by devotees. That is prasad. Get it? That's how simple it is. That is how simple it is. Yeah. So in a morning walk in Perth, in Australia, in May 14, 1975, one devotee was speaking to Srila Prabhupada, and he said, Srila Prabhupada, how can the position be reconciled if in Krishna consciousness one of the two, the husband or the wife, wants to enjoy sense gratification, you know, Griha Medhi, but not be a grihastha? Should there be separation then? Should there be separation then? See? Of course, this type of problem doesn't happen in natural Krishna conscious culture with extended communities. That doesn't happen. This happens when we come from some samskara that is not cultured. So it's a practical question. It's a practical question. Then Srila Prabhupada said, no separation. But they should be trained up. And he said, sense enjoyment means not advanced in Krishna consciousness. That's all. Not advanced in Krishna consciousness. And then Srila Prabhupada said, as soon as one is advancing in Krishna consciousness, then the spirit of sense enjoyment will be reduced. And that is the test. You know, tusti pusti shudapayu anu gasam. That would when you are very hungry, with every mouthful or morsel of even food, you become tusti and pusti. You become completely nourished and satisfied. So that's what Krishna consciousness should be doing to us. You know, chanting the holy names, only honoring Krishna prasadam, serving the devotees, and bringing new people to Krishna consciousness, and having a nice, reasonably good sadhana in the morning. That should be giving you that tusti and pusti, shudapayu anugasa. But if it's not giving you that, then Prabhupada said, then that is the test that you are not advancing in Krishna consciousness. You know, bhakti parishanu bhava, virakti anyatracha, tusti pusti shudapayo anugasa. See? So, then Srila Prabhupada gave a very nice analogy on that morning walk. He said that just like the cure for the disease means diminishing the fever or temperature. Then the devotee asked, but Srila Prabhupada, what if the fever of sense enjoyment is not being diminished? See? Then Srila Prabhupada said, then you should try to chant Hare Krishna, not 16 rounds, but 64 rounds. Because, you know, the dosage to diminish the fever of sense enjoyment is not happening. So you have to increase the dosage. Not 16 rounds, but 64 rounds of japa. He said, but you know, Namacharya Haridas Thakur was chanting 192 rounds, but you have to increase. You cannot imitate him, but you have to increase to bring the fever of sense enjoyment down. And Prabhupada said, and he looked at him, and he said, that is the only remedy. It is easy to chant Hare Krishna, but the determination to chant Hare Krishna is not easy. Rita avrata. Prabhupada was mentioning like that in that talk. So one time, Atamal Krishna Goswami approached Srila Prabhupada, and in a very he was a bit of an aristocrat himself, you know. And he looked and said, Srila Prabhupada, you know, I thought that you said that Krishna consciousness was easy. Srila Prabhupada said, I never said that. I said that Krishna consciousness is simple. It's simple to chant Hare Krishna to reduce the fever of sense enjoyment. But it's not easy to have the determination to chant. It's not easy to have the determination to chant. In Bhagavad Gita, in chapters, there's a group of verses from from text 8 to 12, and one of the most often quoted words, it's together but it's in two separate times when you speak it. Yeah. One of the most often quoted words by Srila Prabhupada from the 8th verse of the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it says, Acharya Upasana. You'll see it in many purports. Acharya Upasana. So Acharya Upasana simply means approaching and accepting a bona fide spiritual master. Yeah. So now, Srila Prabhupada says in that purport that as for acceptance of the spiritual master, that is most essential. You know, it is most. It's like it's a law of the disciplic succession. You know, accepting a bona fide spiritual master. And then Srila Prabhupada says that without the instruction of the bona fide spiritual master, one cannot make progress in the spiritual science or Krishna consciousness. So therefore one should approach the spiritual master with deep humility and offer all kinds of services to the spiritual master so that he will be pleased to bestow his blessings upon the disciple who has pleased the spiritual master. Now, I'm going to read the exact words of the next line from that purport. Because, you know, I joined ISKCON something like 35 years ago. But I was bewildered in what I read about 15 years, that's 20 years ago. I was quite bewildered actually. You know, because I'm attached to coming from like some type of strict Indian culture. You know, brahmachari and then testuk sannyas. I was attached to that. But Prabhupada, you know, smashed. So Prabhupada says, because a bona fide spiritual master is a representative of Krishna, if he bestows any blessings upon his disciple, that will make the disciple immediately advanced without the disciples following the regulative principles. I was shocked. Then there's the next sentence, it's full stop. Or the regulative principles would be easier for one who has served the spiritual master without reservation. So about 20 years ago, I contacted Ranjit, you know, who's a disciple of Prabhupada. He was born in South Africa, but he's in the US now. He is in the archives. I said, go to the microfiche, you know, where they preserve Prabhupada's recorded words and transcripts. He said, look this up. He wrote back, he said, no mistake, as it is. See? So what does this mean? It means, even if you cannot follow the regulative principles and you are involved in unrestricted sense gratification, and you may be even initiated. You know? And you may be even initiated. The one thing you must always keep is to have a good contact, to have a good connection. Good connection. Maintain that good connection with a devotee who is nicely following Krishna consciousness. Maintain that. See? And we have seen devotees who are initiated in the movement 20, 30, 40, even 50 years. You've seen. Because they have this good connection. They have pleased Srila Prabhupada, or they have pleased one of the advanced followers of Srila Prabhupada. It saves them in their darkest hour of need.
especially at the time of leaving this body. See? That only happens in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. If you are a member of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, no other society. Good contact, good connection. But it doesn't mean that you have to take advantage of that and engage in unrestricted sense gratification and sinful activity. It doesn't mean that. It indicates that because of your overwhelming material desire, you could not help yourself. And therefore you lament, and therefore you regret. You know? I'm so fallen that I can't follow nicely. But my dear Srila Prabhupada, I'm still attached to you. You know? My dear so-and-so Prabhu, I'm still attached to you, but you know, this is my condition. See? So the only way you can keep, if you're not following nicely, and if you involve even an unrestricted sense gratification, there's only one thing you must do. Repent piteously that this is me. Please help me. Please save me. But don't make it like a sort of like substandard below the basic standard of pure devotional service and think it's an accepted fact I am still a devotee. Don't make it like that. Don't compromise by crushing Bhakti Devi. Don't compromise by crushing that this is now the basic standard of pure devotional service. That we can engage in illicit activity, eat wherever we want, and I'm still a devotee. No. Don't contaminate the process of bhakti. And don't contaminate bhakta. And don't contaminate Bhagavan. They have their basic standard of pure devotional service. Always go up. Don't take it underneath. No black money. Everything white above. See? So this is extremely important to continue the legacy of Srila Prabhupada for generations to come. See? So you are how you eat and you are how you dress. Attraction is already there. Do not aggravate it. Yes. And it is the nature of a cultured woman to be ashamed to be seen undressed. These are the principles to follow. At the same time, if one is weak spiritually, one can be still be strong in one's faith and one is still sincere. You may be sincere, but you may not be seriously practicing. So keep your sincerity. Keep your sincerity. Although you may not be seriously practicing. And your sincerity comes with piteously repenting that I'm unable to do this. Please help me. So have that good connection. Have that good contact, you know, in the heart of another devotee that is practicing seriously. At least one, but more than one lotus feet on your head is better. Yeah. So our process and our you could say spirit in ISKCON is like when Srila Prabhupada used to initiate. He was the only Diksha Guru, but his spirit was one disciple, many gurus. Not one guru, thousands of disciples. See? One disciple, many gurus. That's how it works. Because he used to manage the movement through his temple presidents, through his traveling sannyasis, through his GBC men, and to other senior devotees. He only interacted with 300 or 400 directly. See? So one disciple, many gurus, Diksha and Shiksha gurus. And then, so keep safe. Not that I'm initiated and nobody knows whether I'm chanting my 16 rounds for the last 3 years. Nobody knows. Nobody? Krishna knows. See? So, one disciple, many gurus. That's the system from Prabhupada's time. And that should be applied now. So in that sense, even if you feel weak spiritually due to the overwhelming pushing, you know, vegam of the mind and the senses and so forth, then you take shelter. You take immediate shelter. Immediate shelter on the ground wherever you live. We good? It's very important. So today marks also the disappearance anniversary day of Srila Abhiram Thakur, and Prabhupada is nicely giving us some more information about Srila Abhiram Thakur. So this is Adi Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 11, text number 13, the chapter entitled The Expansions of Lord Nityananda. Shri Ramdas Ara Gadadara Dasa Chaitanya Gosanira Bhakta Rahe Tanrapasa. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Two devotees of Lord Chaitanya named Shri Ramdas and Gadadara Das always lived with Shri Virabhadra Gosani. Purport. Shri Ramdas, later known as Abhiram Thakur, was one of the 12 Gopalas, or cowherd boyfriends of Shri Nityananda Prabhu. The Gaura Ganadas Dipika 126 states that Shri Ramdas was formerly Sridhar. In the Bhakti Ratnakar 4th wave, there is a description of Srila Abhiram Thakur. By the order of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, Abhiram Thakur became a great acharya and preacher of the Chaitanya cult of devotional service. He was a very influential personality and non-devotees were very much afraid of him. You know why? He had one whip, which is a personified devotee named Jai Mangala. Empowered by Sri Nityananda Prabhu, he was always in ecstasy and was extremely kind to all fallen souls. It is said that if he offered obeisances to any stone other than a Shaligram Shila, it would immediately fracture. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anubhasya, quote, 10 miles southwest of the Champadanga railway station on the narrow gauge railway line from Howrah in Calcutta to Amta, a village in the Hooghly district, is a small town named Kanakula Krishnanagar, where the temple in which Abhiram Thakur worshipped is situated. During the rainy season, when this area is inundated with water, people must go there by another line, which is now called the Southeastern Railway. On this line, there is a station named Kolagat, from which one has to go by steamer to Ranichak. 7.5 miles north of Ranichak is Kanakula. The temple where Abhiram Thakur worshipped is situated in Krishnanagar, which is near the Kula bank of the Kana Dwarakeshwara River. Therefore, this place is celebrated as Kanakula Krishnanagar. Outside of the temple is a Bakula tree. This place is known as Siddha Bakula Kunj. It is said that when Abhiram Thakur came there, he sat under this tree. In Kanakula Krishnanagar, there is a big fair held every year in the month of Chaitra, March, April, on the Krishna Saptami, the 7th day of the dark moon. Many hundreds and thousands of people gather for this festival. The temple where Abhiram Thakur worshipped has a very old history. The deity in the temple is known as Gopinath. there are many Sevite families living near the temple. It is said that Abhiram Thakur had a whip, say, Jaya Mangala, and that whoever he touched with it would immediately become an elevated devotee of Krishna. Among his many disciples, Sriman Srinivasacharya was the most famous and most dear, but it is doubtful that he was his initiated disciple. So I'm not sure whether we have time for comments or questions. I'm not sure. We should end now, right? So our Pancha Gauda Prabhu is mercifully instructing me to and bless us with, if you have one comment or question. Hold on. You're not married, right? Then let him ask the question. Yeah. Your name again?
Krishna Aravind Das.
Krishna Aravind.
Maharaj, you said there's many gurus and one disciple. So, I have a question on this. So can they really
No. One disciple and many gurus, not the other way around.
One disciple and many gurus.
It's not that many gurus fight for one disciple, you understand? See, the one disciple accepts many gurus. Not many gurus fight that he must accept me. Not like that. Okay? See, Goyam Akyati Prichati is based on faith and relationship. You can't randomly reveal your heart to anybody. It's based on faith and relationship. Then you'll reveal your heart to somebody who can keep confidentiality. Goyam Akyati Prichati. Are we clear? Yeah. Now, you know, in the Mangalacharana prayers, you know, we have, you know, Vande Hum, Shri Guru, Shri Yuta Pada Kamala, then Shri Gurun, plural, then Vaishnava Namsha. Yeah. So generally when we become introduced to Krishna consciousness from the transitional stage of material life into the practice of sadhana bhakti in Krishna consciousness, we are exposed more to Vaishnavas. Exposed more to Vaishnavas in general. See? So out of those many Vaishnavas, some Vaishnavas may be more prominent in bringing you to the basic standard of pure devotional service, minimum 16 rounds of japa, following the regulative principles. Some Vaishnavas may be more prominent. Those are called Shiksha Gurus. This is a national selection of the heart. It is not rubber stamping guru and rubber stamping disciple. This is according to Chaitanya Charitamrita in the first chapter, in the first Adi Leela in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So amongst those Shiksha Gurus, what comes from amongst the Vaishnavas is born thought. One principal personality who may initiate, who is called the Diksha Guru. It is a natural selection of the heart, not rubber stamped upon. And therefore you'll find even the full GBC body today, they are deliberating this. In fact, there's a resolution in the GBC resolutions that now they're going to attribute 2 full days in their discussions in forthcoming meetings to talk about this. See? So when Krishna consciousness shelter is a natural selection of the heart, then you always feel protected and sheltered. One disciple accepts many gurus. Not many gurus fight for one disciple to initiate. More lotus feet on the head. But coming with the natural selection of the heart, based on faith and relationship. We okay? So even before initiation, so many devotees help you. And then you get initiated because somebody is authorized to initiate. And then after initiation, those very devotees who helped you before initiation continue to help you. The initiating spiritual master of Bhaktivinoda Thakur is Bipin Bihari Goswami. But in our altar we have Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Why? So we should learn from that. See? And Srila Gokeshwaras Babaji's initiating guru is a little bit unknown. But his Shiksha guru is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And we have that picture on the altar. Are we clear? And then after that, you know, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, the only disciple of Gokeshwaras Babaji Maharaj, and then his disciple is Srila Prabhupada. So both lines are there. Both lines are there. But the person who becomes prominent is, it can be either the Diksha Guru or the Shiksha Guru. It's not necessarily the Diksha Guru is the prominent one. Like in the case of Bhaktivinoda Thakur with Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, in the case of, you know, Gokeshwaras Babaji Maharaj in relation to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You have to live the heart. You cannot live the formality of initiation. Formality is only by the fire. Before and after, what happens? So Krishna consciousness is the simplicity of the language of the heart. To actually feel sheltered. And when you feel sheltered, then you can give shelter. You cannot give what you don't have. We okay? Sorry, it's a little past time now. You want to offer some comments, anyone? Panchagoda?
Very nice class, Bharat.
I thought I can hear some words of wisdom from you. Where's the microphone? Give it to His Holiness Radha Raman Maharaj here. And please share something with us.
I think very clearly covered all aspects.
You know, he is my dear friend, one of my closest friends.
Yes.
Maharaj, you want me to take my danda for you? Can you purify me by giving me one word of wisdom, please? That's what friends are for. You know, friends means there's no barrier, you know. You know, subordinate to superior, barrier. I must be my best behavior, Guru Maharaj, best behavior. No, friends, they are open, right? So you, please. Okay, I can only say His Holiness Radharaman Maharaj is very kind to me and is very merciful, but he's not saying what's inside. See, the fact is he's sitting there, you know, he's giving me some shakti to say something that's pleasing to all of you. So thank you for coming and sitting and helping me out. Something? No, no, one disciple, many guru. The other way around is not the best. No, no, his English is not his first language, but he did very well. He did, you know.
You are
Okay, mutually you help me, I'll help you. But first you help me, then it's a transcendental business deal. I'll help you. Please protect me.
Not about that record of life of time, but feeling I was about the text part, I was willing to ask one question regarding the third prayer of Gurmukhi. We saw that people keep that engaged in wrong way, engaged in sense meditation and in perfect.
Yeah, before you take your question, you see the non-devotees, when they engage in unrestricted sense gratification, they are actually innocent in their ignorance. They don't know it's wrong. So we're not to blame them. I'm talking about the non-devotees. They're not really karmis, you know. It's just that they don't know what is right. They're innocent in their ignorance. But the devotee, he knows what is right, so he is guilty in knowledge. He is guilty in knowledge. But you cannot say the devotee, you're guilty, you know, you had illicit activity. You cannot say that to the devotee. Then he may go back to the material world. So you don't want to push people who are already in Maya back into Maya. See? So therefore, when devotees are having difficulties in following the regular principles, including chanting their rounds, they are already stabbed by the dagger of Maya, and they know it. Because they are guilty in knowledge, they are not innocent in their ignorance as non-devotees. My English okay? Yeah. So when devotees are not following nicely, they are not serious in the Krishna consciousness. But at the same time, they are still sincere. They are still sincere. See? So that sincerity brings them back. Now when they come back to the association of advanced devotees to follow nicely again, we should not twist the dagger of Maya that they are in. We should pull out the dagger of Maya. Twisting means more pain. Go away. No, we shouldn't do that. Now what's your question?
Yes. And they get perfected.
Yes.
So Dattatreya is another extreme. Whether Bhagavad Gita describing karma or sanskrit, ashita, janvalaya, if some people are doing wrong things, karmi, then Gartner should correct them, right? And send them, he should be engaged in the sensitive in the right way, so that they can learn the low sangha.
Yes.
In order to save people in general, we set proper examples.
Yes.
So that they could be seen.
Clear.
So that I completely pray everything as from other people.
Yeah.
There is one place in Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahmana, Shantanta, some like and first means from that. If a sadhu ignores the suffering of people in general, then his potency, spiritual potency,
exactly.
Similar way that if the water is kept in water, so somebody is suffering, people are suffering, and I begin to learn a personality, I know it. If I ignore their suffering and run,
no, we shouldn't do that. You lose it.
And the example is given that if the water is kept in a crack, so if you ignore the suffering of people in general, the suffering is very dangerous. How come that Dattatreya is such a high rate personality rather than society? You can't get anything.
Yes. In this particular verse, Srila Prabhupada is preaching to us. He's not keeping to the verse. Srila Prabhupada is a missionary. You know, he is paradukaduki. Dattatreya is not. Are you getting it? Yeah, that's one point. Yeah. Secondly, Sometimes when Sanskrit scholars, they say, but this is Bhaktivedanta Swami, you know, how is he doing this? Yeah, but they don't know that Srila Prabhupada is overflowing with Krishna Prema. His purports are overflowing with bringing people to experience love for Krishna. So he changes it. That is Srila Prabhupada. Are we good?
Yeah.
But thank you. Thank you. You have taught me that, you know, Dattatreya and what he is speaking, you know, the Brahmana in this verse, and what Prabhupada is saying is not exact in line, because Prabhupada is a missionary. Prabhupada is a preacher. Yeah. Alright? His Holiness Radharaman Swami Maharaj Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Ananta Koti Vaishnav Friend Ki. Srila Abhiram Thakur Ki. Thai Go Premanande. Very good.